Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study 1 Samuel chapter 26. And in this particular passage, we are just going to study and read as we study and follow the points along the way. This is another episode of Saul trying to kill David. But David trusted the Lord, and as a result of trusting the Lord, some things happened to him that would not have happened had he not put his trust in the Lord. I mean, it's one thing for a man to say that he trusts the Lord. It's a totally different thing to actually trust him. David trusted the Lord, and that's evident by a number of things that we find in this passage. First of all, let's read verse 1 down to verse 9, and then notice what David's trust in the Lord gave him. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 1, "And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph, and Saul pitched in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies, and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David, and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. A bolster is like a pillow. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? All right, so the first thing that we see in this particular passage is that David's trust in the Lord gave him restraint. You see, David knew at this point that he did not have to destroy Saul in order for him to stay alive or for him to obtain the kingdom. We saw earlier that David would not smite Saul because he was the Lord's anointed, and we see that repeated here. But it's not just a matter of recognizing that he's the Lord's anointed. I mean, in other words, when David saw that Saul was the Lord's anointed and had the opportunity to kill him before and didn't do it, he didn't do it because of the anointing of the Lord upon Saul. But he might have to worry at this time, listen, last time I let him go, and here he is again to get me. This isn't going to end until he dies. So I need to kill him in order to save my life. And, you know, in truth, from the standpoint of self-defense, he would have been justified. But David did not have to destroy Saul in order for him to stay alive or to obtain the kingdom, because he trusted the Lord to take care of him. In other words, there would always be this question in David's mind whether it truly was in self-defense if he gets the man while he's asleep. If he lets Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, kill him. You know, these guys, these sons of Zeruiah, were pretty bloody men anyway. You'll see as you study through that David begins to question his judgment in having these men fight with him, because every time you turn around, they want to shed somebody's blood, and they're not afraid to shed an innocent man's blood even during a time of peace. So we certainly know that Saul is here with the purpose of killing David, and case could have been made that it was for self-defense, but David would have known, we killed the guy in his sleep. And so David said, don't do it. He knew that the Lord would take care of him, and the Lord will take care of him. Throughout the rest of this passage and on until David's life comes to an end, he never sheds blood in war. I mean, not his own. He dies of natural causes at a ripe old age. David learned to trust the Lord and knew when he had to face enemies like Saul, he could show restraint because the Lord indeed would take care of him. And you know something? The Lord will take care of you. That's right. You might be in a corporation, and I understand the corporate philosophy. The corporate philosophy is to climb the corporate ladder, and in climbing the corporate ladder, you have to step on others to get ahead. They become the rungs in the ladder of your success. And I've watched it. When I was in a corporation working in the banking business many years ago, I watched as young, aggressive, talented bankers would begin to gossip and cast disparaging remarks about another person and step on them to get ahead in order to advance up that ladder. And, you know, you might say, well, that's the way it goes, and that way you find who the best people are. But I'm going to tell you something. Rather than stepping on others to get ahead, why don't you trust the Lord and restrain yourself from doing something against another person just to get yourself up the ladder a little higher? Rather than step on them, why don't you push them up the ladder and fill the places they vacate as they move up? Now I realize some folks ahead of you probably aren't worth pushing. I recognize that. You'll see their weaknesses, and you'll look at that and you'll say, this isn't even good for our company. But you know something? A lot of times when you make the effort to make the person in front of you look better and do better than even he does or she does, you know what happens? They actually start to perform better. They actually become a better team player. They actually advance up the ladder and remember the people that helped them get ahead. See, if you push somebody that's ahead of you up the ladder and fill the places or the place they vacate as they move up, they get ahead and remember who helped them get there. David never brought Saul down. Saul brought himself down. David did everything he could to respect his king and make him look better. He fought the king's battles and won. When the king said, get me 100 foreskins of the Philistines as a dowry for marrying my daughter, David said, I'll do better than that. I'll get 200. David was always about making the kingdom and the king of that kingdom look better. And sure enough, David eventually occupied the place that Saul had, and he became king, but not by killing the king, but rather by keeping him promoted in the anointing that he had upon him from the Lord God. Do the same thing. And when you do, don't avenge yourself if someone crosses you. Saul tried on many occasions to kill David, and David never avenged himself. Restrain yourself from that. The Lord said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Listen, the Lord will deal with you in due time, and the Lord will deal with them in due time. Show some restraint. Trust the Lord. Let him work things out according to his will and according to his timing. Listen, if David had ascended to the throne at this time and had been responsible for the death of Saul, what do you think would have happened? The Philistines were strong. Saul died in a battle. Would that have been David? See, the questions that you have to ask yourself when you look at these situations are, would the people have accepted David, knowing that he and Abishai were responsible for the death of their king? I doubt it. And will they accept you if you smoke somebody in order for you to get ahead? I don't think so. You say, well, this person doesn't belong in the position they're in. Let God deal with that. All right, David trusted the Lord, and as a result of his trust in the Lord, God gave him restraint. But that's not all. God gave him patience. Look at verse 10. David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. Well, in truth, it was the third one. David was right. Saul did descend into battle in 1 Samuel chapter 31 and died as a result of his wounds that he received, and, you know, further, because of his fear of being ransacked by the enemy, he fell on his own sword. You see, David waited. Now, David obviously didn't want to keep running for his life while this demon-possessed king was trying to kill him. However, if he was going to let God deal with him instead of killing him himself, then he was going to have to, here's the bad word, wait. He was going to have to wait. Patience, my friend. By trusting the Lord, David was able to patiently wait, and the Lord worked out the details according to his own timing. The Lord's timing is critical. So you have to learn to trust the Lord and wait on Him. Listen, the problem with most people today is that if they see a situation they're involved in they don't like, they are very hasty to change that situation as quickly as possible. And you know, sometimes that's the Lord's will. You need to move on. You need to make things change, but not always. I'm dealing with several folks. I've got a friend of mine. He's not here in Corpus Christi. He's in another city. But the marriage is tough right now. And to a certain degree, he's ready to just kind of wrap things up. His wife has done some horrible things. My prayer for him is that he will wait. You say, well, how long? A little bit longer anyway. Giving time for the Lord to kind of work out some details and maybe make some changes. You say, well, will the Lord do that? I don't know. I've seen him do it in other cases. I've watched the Lord work on bad situations, bad marriages, or marriages that were good that had gone bad. I've seen the Lord work out situations there where, giving it a little bit more time, the people were able to work through a problem they were having together, and by working through the problem together, they've actually salvaged the marriage, and they're not just surviving in it. They are thriving in it and truly would not want to be married to anybody else other than the partner they have. You say, how'd that happen? God was given some time to get in there and work out some details that could not be worked out by the people themselves. It's an amazing thing. Patience. Listen, when you trust the Lord, you can wait. You say, well, I'm involved in a bad situation right now, and probably because I don't know the details, I can't just give general counsel. But you know, it's an amazing thing. Today, I'm preaching on this passage of Scripture. I'm looking in 1 Samuel chapter 26, preparing this message, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't really know how I'm going to preach this passage. We've already preached a passage that's very similar to this when, on a prior occasion, Saul tried to kill David, and David cut the skirt of his robe off and spared Saul's life. I thought, well, I'm not going to preach the same message again. So I looked in the passage, and as I'm looking in the passage, certain thoughts come to mind that I believe have come from the Lord, and these are the things that laid out, okay? Well, you don't listen to me preach on the radio every day. And here you are listening today, and you happen to be listening at this very time, and David is trusting the Lord, and in David trusting the Lord, God has given him patience. And you're dealing with a situation right now, and you've been trying to figure out what to do about it. Turn on the radio, thinking maybe you'll hear something that will help you, and boom, here we are speaking to you out of the Scripture from 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 10, and the preacher saying to you, trust the Lord and wait. And you're thinking, oh boy, is that really what God wants me to do? Because right now what I want to do is take somebody's head off. I wouldn't do that if I were you. Not given the fact that somehow or another you tuned in today at this time and caught this message at this time. I would say, you know something? Maybe the Lord is talking to me, and maybe I oughtn't to pull the plug on this marriage. Maybe I oughtn't to go and say the thing that I was going to say about this particular person. Maybe I oughtn't to quit my job. Maybe I better give it just a little bit more time and see if God is going to do something here, because the Lord's timing is critical. Recently, I was dealing with a situation, helping another friend. And in this particular case, without going into any detail, we had to go find somebody and plead with them to be a help to my friend. And we prayed and we waited. And we prayed and we waited. And one day, suddenly there was this green light to go. I don't mean that there was anything written in the sky. God didn't speak audibly, but my spirit was at peace. You know, the peace that passeth all understanding, that keeps your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus when you're praying and supplicating with thanksgiving. And I called a friend of mine and I said, you know, today perhaps we ought to approach this person on behalf of our friend. He said, yeah, it looks like a good idea to me. And you know something? The Lord opened the door. The reception we had with this individual was fabulous. They were eager to help our mutual friend. And the things that this person told us about what was going on in their life were so uncanny. It was that day and that day alone that we could have seen this person and gotten that kind of help. Because really, the person we were asking for help and the person for whom we were asking for help were really at odds with each other. But amazingly, God had worked out circumstances during that time that we waited to turn the heart of this person from whom we needed help to actually become eagerly desirous to help our friend. It's an amazing thing. So I'm just telling you, don't pull the plug. If you're really trusting the Lord, trust the Lord to guide you the right time that you should do whatever you've got to do. Here, it was not the right time for Saul to die, and David had no business killing him. And so he said, let the Lord do it when the Lord wants to be done. All right, something else. David trusted the Lord, and what else happened? Well, the Lord gave him restraint. The Lord gave him patience. The Lord gave him protection. Verse 11, the Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee take now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water and let us go. Now you'd think this guy was coming in there when nobody was in the house. There are 3,000 men there with Saul. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away, and no man saw it nor knew it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Wow, you talk about protection. So David went over to the other side, stood on the top of an hill far off, great space being between them. David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who art thou that criest to the king? David said to Abner, art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept the Lord, thy Lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king by thy Lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, you are worthy to die because you have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. He went in there. You talk about capture the flag, man. You talk about kick the can, man. David went in there with Abishai, two of them with 3,000 soldiers asleep because the Lord put them to sleep. And he got that spear and he got that cruse of water and walked out of there. With 3,000 men and a country obligated to help its king by reporting David's whereabouts, Saul could have easily killed David. That's why the Ziphites reported to Saul where David was, because they had some deal with Saul, you know, in order just to keep on going there without a reprimand from their king or some worse occurrence, they had to let him know where David was. David could, I mean, they got spies all over the place. They got plenty of soldiers. Saul is an excellent warrior, but he couldn't kill him. You know why? Because in David's trust of the Lord, God gave him protection. The Lord would not let Saul kill David. And I'm going to tell you something. If you will trust the Lord, your enemies will not be able to destroy you either. Listen, you don't get into the ministry without getting some enemies. It shouldn't happen, but it does. And there are all kinds of reasons for it, really and truly. There really are. Sometimes we deserve enemies because we've done stupid things. And people turn against us and they just never really can trust us again. It happens. I don't like it. I wish that I could have done something different to make that outcome different. But it just works out that way. And so you just don't get along. Sometimes people become your enemies because you stand for the truth and they won't stand for the truth. Sometimes they become your enemies because they want a place or a position in the ministry that God has that God doesn't want them to have, and they'll do anything and everything they possibly can to get that position. And so then they'll be at odds with God. And when they're at odds with God, they'll be at odds with God's man. There are all kinds of reasons why somebody will become an enemy. Maybe you've taken a hard stand on a sin in their life and they don't want to change that. Or maybe you've taken a hard stand on a sin in one of their children's lives and they don't appreciate that, and so suddenly they become your enemy. Whatever the case may be, having been in the ministry for 20 years now full time, you just get some enemies along the way. And you know, there's a temptation to want to protect yourself, to defend yourself, to get up and state your case and say why you're wrong, to tell everybody in the world, hey, don't listen to these people. They don't know what they're talking about. I'm right and they're wrong. You know something? All of those kinds of responses are wrong because they show a failure to trust the Lord. David trusted the Lord and God gave him protection, and if you will trust the Lord will give you protection. I have watched the Lord take situations that should be very, very difficult to overcome, stand in the gap there and protect the ministry and protect the sheep, and the enemies did not prevail. You know something? We do not, as God's children, have to protect ourselves. We run to God and let Him do the defending and the protecting. That's what He did for David when David trusted Him, and that's what He'll do for you when you trust Him. But that's not all. David trusted the Lord, and the Lord gave him favor. Verse 17 in 1 Samuel 26, Saul knew David's voice and said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." And he said, "Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? And what have I done? And what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, Go serve other gods. Now therefore let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm. Because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day, behold, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly." Saul backed off his plan and favored David in spite of the fact that he wanted to kill him. You know what the Bible says? When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Isn't that an amazing thing? God gave David favor with Saul just because David trusted the Lord. Do you know something? There are situations going on in your life right now where you have enemies and you keep throwing rocks back. May I tell you something? Why don't you do what the Bible says and pray for them and love them? You remember, that's what the Bible says. And feed them when they're hungry. Give them drink when they're thirsty. And let it alone. You may find that if you quit sailing rocks back over the hedge, they'll quit sailing rocks your way, and where you had disfavor, you'll then have favor. If you can wait patiently. You ought to try it. The other way hadn't been working. David trusted the Lord, and the Lord gave him restraint, patience, protection, favor, and one more thing, good judgment. At the end of this chapter in 1 Samuel chapter 26, you know what David said? The Lord rendered every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. God gave him good judgment. David said, you know what? If I keep my hand off this king, God will judge me according to my righteousness, and my life will be set by in the eyes of the Lord, and I'll make it. David knew that he had done the right thing, and that the Lord would judge him accordingly. May I tell you something? When you trust the Lord, he will help you make the decisions that will give you the best result at your judgment before him. But you're going to have to judge him, because I can tell you, in the heat of the moment, you will always make a careless decision, and it won't fare you well at his judgment. Be like David, and make good judgments based on your trust in the Lord.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages, or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible. Hallelujah.